We're glad you're here, and I'm glad to be here. If you weren't here Sunday to hear my testimony a little bit, my name is Alan Taylor. I've been preaching since I've been 19 years old, and last January I had a stroke, a surprise stroke, which is usually how they are, I guess. The doctors checked me out. They couldn't find anything wrong. My arteries were clean. Everything was good, and I went to the hospital with some symptoms. They said, "You look like whatever's come has passed. You're going to be okay." Thank God my friend John was with me, because we were in the emergency room and all the doctors left. And just a little nurse was sitting there, and she said, "They said to give you these three pills." And I remember thinking, should I take this pill? And it's nitroglycerin. It's going to lower, because my blood pressure was high. And they didn't know why, but everything was clean. Everything was good. And so they took the first pill, and I started to shake. I said, "This is really affecting me." And the nurse said, "No, that's okay. You're supposed to take three of them, one every 5 minutes." And I took the second pill, and I said, "Okay, I think we're good." And she said, "No, the doctor said you have to take it." And so I submitted, and just after I took it, I had a full-blown stroke. All the red lights went on, and I mean, the nurse even left after she took me the pill. So John had to run out and get all the doctors, and that's when the devil tried to kill me. But how many know God has other plans? So in one sense, you know, I'm happy to be alive. But in the other sense, I'm also honored to be able to preach from a position of overcoming. You know, because we all overcome things, but some things can seem bigger than others. And I'm not saying for you that mine is bigger than yours. I'm saying for me, this is the biggest thing I've had to overcome. But because you chose to fight in the past, to stay on the path that God put you on, that's the fight that rises up from your spirit to keep fighting. Even when everything around you seems to say what you're doing is not working. And the devil will build a bunch of circumstances to try to tell you what you're doing is not working. And so there's a fight in the spirit. Because you fought the little fights, you didn't change course, you didn't run back then. When you hit, if the devil comes with a big one, how many know that you have that same fight in you that says, this is just another circumstances. And just like all the other circumstances changed, these will change too. And these will bow to the Word of God and what God has told me. So I want to thank you for your prayer. If we could, when we had the stroke, we would have called each of you and said, "Hey, please pray for us." But you know, during that time, you just kind of you're surviving. You know, and I want to share a little bit. I want to share some details a little bit today. The Lord's given me some things that I feel He wants me to talk about, and I feel like I'm going through a minefield, because coming from, as Gary said, deep word of faith roots. As a minister, I've dealt with many multitudes of people who've come to prayer lines, who are sick, who have asked prayer for this and that. And we've watched many people receive miracles, but many people not receive miracles. And how many know what I'm talking about? Well, from the minister's side, I have discovered that you can be a little not understanding of what someone is going through while they're going through a battle. And, you know, I remember one time way back in, it was in Georgia, this is 20 years ago, I was having a prayer line at a church, and I was praying for people, and I was walking down the prayer line, and I said, "Be healed," and I hit them on the forehead, gently on the forehead, "Be healed, be healed," and they'd fall out, and one by one, they'd fall out. And I got halfway through the prayer line, and on this side, everyone was laid out on the floor. And on this side, everyone was standing waiting to be prayed for. And right there in the middle, the Lord spoke to me and said, "You don't love these people." I said, "What do you mean? I don't love these people. I'm praying for them. I'm, you know." He said, "You're just saying be healed, and they're being blessed, but you don't know what they came with. You don't know what they're leaving with. They may leave with the same condition that they came in. You just said be healed. So now they think that God didn't heal them. Or why did God not heal me?" Or they receive the healing and the devil comes back and tries to put it back on them. And that's when I understood the power of teaching being more important than just the power of prayer. You know, that the best deliverance service you can have is when someone shares to you who you really are in Christ. And so on this side, I want to share, the Lord gave me instructions yesterday during worship to do a few things. I didn't know I was speaking until Tim called. When I was laying in the hospital bed, Tim was, okay, so when are you speaking next? I'm like, Tim, I said, I feel like the devil wants to display me as what, you know, look what I can do. You know, but that's not the truth. See, I've chosen to say, I'm on display for what God can do through any circumstances. Amen. Because when you're following God, you can lay claim to the verses that whatever the devil means for evil, God will turn for good. And that is your future, no matter what you're going through. And there's a fight, because I am a Word of Faith guy. I have underwear that has Word of Faith in it. I've been in many, many, I won't go into it. Gary knows a little bit of my history. And thank God for Gary for teaching proper Word of Faith. And every principle of the Word of Faith that we would call Word of Faith, confessing, standing on the Word, believing for your miracle, believing for your healing, believing for your blessings, we believe 100% as long as it lines up with the Word of God. But some of the principles of Word of Faith are foundational in the prayer center and what we believe. However, some of the direction that man has taken those principles, that I want to confess for my new car and confess for a bigger house, that I'm going to use my faith to get bigger things, and the goal is to have a successful life, we don't believe in those. We believe in following God. And when you start praying in tongues, something happened to you. You know, Pastor Dave said, pray in tongues, it'll change you. And we didn't know what kind of change it would bring. You know, sitting in church happy, listening to preachers, all of a sudden you're like, well, that's not true. Well, how do you know that's not true? I don't know. I don't know how I know that's not true. I just know that's not true. And so here you prayed yourself to a place where the Holy Spirit is your guide now. And he starts leading you. And I want to talk today about the healing that's here. Say healing.
Healing.
The healing that's here for those of you who've been through a battle that didn't line up with what you believed. When you're doing everything you know to do, everything right, everything you've been taught to do, and then something happens to you, to your family, to your circumstances, to your finances, to your home. And, you know, we have a saying, faith does not wear a watch. Faith does not wear a watch. Faith, see, there's a part of what I would say, I don't know what we'll call it, guilt maybe, or a question that came up in myself when I went through this battle, like, what the heck is going on here? You know, I believe, because the way we explain it is, if you aren't healed, the only reason you're not healed is because you don't believe. And so we put a marker way up here that says when you reach that marker, then that's when you believe. But until then, you're in unbelief. Okay, and that's how it can be taken. But I've been trying to redefine faith for a while, which is, faith is not the absence of struggles. Faith is what you use to walk through your struggles. And in the area of healing, technically, I would describe myself as saying, you can say, okay, your healing revelation is not complete yet. I would accept that. Because I do believe, if I believe in my heart and have no doubt, that the moment I speak it, I'll have what I say when it comes to healing. But don't tell me I don't believe. Because believing is more what you do every day during the times. And what I found rose up inside of me during my circumstances was a belief that said, I will get across a line where I will walk in wholeness. And that it's a, It's not hard. It's hard, but it's not bad what I'm going through. I feel personally my roots with God going deeper than they ever have been before. And when I worship God, see, when you're sitting there and there's a million tons of dark circumstances laying on top of you, and you reach your little hands up, and your little fingertips squeeze through that darkness as you worship God, and you say, I will not blame you.
No.
There's no accusation towards you, God. Your word is truth.
Hallelujah.
And I believe I'll win.
Praise God.
Not how good I am. Not because of my good works or how smart I am or how much I've done, but because of who you are.
Hallelujah.
See. And when you reach those hands up, I want you to understand this image. See, the scripture says that we are trees planted by living waters. See, he's the living waters. Our roots go into him. That's where you receive from him. We have to get past looking up to heaven for God to drop things down to us. My roots are in God right now. I receive from him every moment of every day, every bit of strength I need to get through that day. And to get across the line, the finish line. So when I worship him, it's not me reaching up to heaven so he'll notice my fingertips. It's me like a tree spreading out my branches and saying, I won't be cut down, I won't quit. Because my roots are in him. And no matter what the circumstances are trying to tell you, whatever proof the devil wants to give you, because these are questions that came up with me during my circumstances of my stroke. Which I've come a million miles already, and we're going to finish this. God's grace has been on my family and on me. I'm more emotional now, but it's because of the stroke. So when you go through things, because I don't want you, I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. During my battle, one of the symptoms of a stroke is depression. Anxiety, and as a pastor, I've been in a dozen psych wards dealing with people who try to commit suicide the night before, counseling with people, help people get out of depression. But I have a holding respect for people who fight with depression, because it's not a decision. Like, I've always known that, but it's like you let one thought, just one tiny thought, pass through that mind of yours, and you let it go through. Then 10 minutes later, you're in this deep, dark hole, and you don't know how to get out. Is that a good description for some of you?
Yes.
And that's why you need to have family and friends around you and stay close to people and stay in the Word and stay in confession every day, because the devil's going to try to turn your heart away from the call of God on your life, and he's going to try to chase you off of it. If he couldn't buy you off, he's going to try to chase you off of it.
Amen.
And this is, if you reread the New Testament, this is what you can find it in here. Paul said us apostles are the off-scouring of the earth. I remember Pastor Dave said, you know what that is? I said, what? So that's when you take a scouring pad and you get on the floor and you go, and that's what an apostle is. The devil takes you and squishes you on the earth and beats the tar out of you because he's trying to stop you from going somewhere. We call that place love. And I want to read just a little bit here, but we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13 first. But when I was in the first few months especially, it wasn't strength. It wasn't because of courage that, this devil came and did this and I stood up, hallelujah, and told him what to do. I found myself that my only strength came from my spirit. That the only strength I had was to get up every day and keep moving. And I needed encouragement on many days. Not that I was giving up, but I needed encouragement that I can make it. That came from the Word of God. It came from friends. It came from my wife, from my family. It came from many different avenues, but I needed encouragement. But there's, because you can come to the end of your human strength. No matter how strong you are, you will come to the end of it if the devil has to say so. You can come to the end of your human wisdom, your human power, your human willpower. All that could be taken right to the end of yourself, where you can't find one bit of hope within your natural man. And the only place you'll have to look is in your spirit. And that's from the Father. And it may seem like it's the most hopeless place to be, but I promise you, it is the best place to be. Because when you get to discover who He is, then you're not afraid of anything. I think the one thing I can say is that fear of death has left me. And I've been blessed to watch God's grace and God's family here praying for me. Because here's what old school thinking does. When I say old school, please get me wrong. Wrong school faith says, oh, you're fighting something you don't believe. You don't have enough money for your bills this month. You don't believe. You should just do what I do. And the devil, see, there's a minefield that I'm trying to be careful of here, because I don't want to ever come across giving the devil credit for what he can try to do. I don't want to give him credit. I don't want to give him strength or put fear in anyone. That you go pray in tongues, the devil's going to come and give you a stroke. I don't want that to come across anyone's mind. If anything should come across your mind is, look at how those people, they're getting beat up and they just keep walking. That should be what they think of you, not what the devil's trying to do. The devil wants to try and paint a different picture. And so you just need to believe. Because these questions came across my mind. And I asked God, well, you know, did I not pray enough? Did I not fast enough? Did I not read the word enough? Did I not confess enough? Did I not use my authority enough? Why could I not get through this? Because I wanted so bad for my faith to mean I stand above all trouble. But there's a special crown for those who overcome tests and trials. And there's a reason for that. And so faith is not just being the man above all troubles. Devil came, I put him down. Depression came, I put it down. You know, stroke came, I just put it down. Heart attack came, I put it down. Whatever struggle, diabetes, whatever circumstance, that's health. How about our finances? My business was going great, and then it just stopped. Because there's a walk that we're on that only can be successful if it's through the Spirit. Because your spirit man is the only one, through the Holy Spirit, teaching your spirit man where to go, what to do, is the only one that's going to try to drag you into these circumstances. Because your flesh is going to try every way to get around them. And the devil's going to offer you a path to your calling without the price. Say, well, you don't have to pay that price. You don't have to go take your flesh to the cross or to the altar. Just come on, we'll go do it anyway without having to go through those times. And if there's fear in you, it's just like Gideon's army. God said, tell them, Gideon, that if any of you are afraid of the fight, then be free to go home to your family. So we don't compete with the church down the street. Please understand, we're not trying to talk people into walking into this walk. We're not trying to go down to the church down the street that has 30-minute services. We're not trying to go down the street where it's mostly preached faith is how you get rich. We're not trying to convince them. But if you're here and you're listening to this message, it's because God drew you here. And He sees something in you that says there's enough in you to finish a fight no matter what the devil brings. Now you're going to look at yourself and you're going to go, he's looking at the wrong person. Because man looks at all your dysfunction. But God looks at something different inside of you. And there's a reason why God picks people when man doesn't. And the reason why man picks people who God doesn't. I'm being careful, trying to be careful with my minefield here. Because I don't want anyone to dare say, well, he's not a faith man. Or I don't want anyone to say he doesn't believe in God or the Word. But there's some people who have been through things and it looked like failure. And these are questions that came up within me. Did I pray enough? Did I fast enough? And the Lord was silent for a long time. I'm like, you know, before the stroke, you talked all the time. And now you're not talking. What's going on? And it's like how a father has a voice for different kids. You know, for your kids, one day your kid does good. You know, y'all know Harrison, my son. You know, so it's, you know, we call him Harrison because he doesn't get his name the first time, you know. And so, you know, there's Harrison, you're doing good. I'm so proud of you. Way to go. Then there's Harrison, get back to your room and clean it like your mom told you to. You have a different tone for your kid at different times. Amen. Well, there's a time where there is no voice, and that's when there's something, they get hurt or they're wounded, and there's no talking needed. There's no lesson to be learned. It's a, I'm going to hold you, and you're going to be safe. That's when God goes silent on you, that's because he's saying, look, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. I'm not going to try to teach you. I know you rode your bike down the road and scratched your knee up when I told you not to, but that's all right right now. Right now, we're going to be okay. We'll give you lessons later. And because how many know the devil is already defeated? Well, in every area. But the pathway for us to walk. See, in my Bible, I find where everyone was healed in a service. I find where man changed the world and turned it upside down. But I don't find that in churches today. But it's in the Bible. It's available to us. And the reason why it's so hard to get there is because the devil fights anyone who dares go down that road. And I'll be honest with you, if I didn't pray in tongues before, I wouldn't be down this road. I'd be down a flesh road serving God, happy. And but we wouldn't want to trade that happiness for the peace that we have on the inside of us. For the strength that's in there that says, is that all you got, devil? Because I'm not quitting. I'm not changing course. You know, I thank God for a church that lets me hobble up here in the middle of my circumstances. And I say that not in a lack of faith, because next year you're going to see a different person. I know I'm going to recover. I know, because the Word says in the promises of God are truth. But thank God for a church that lets me come up and receives me in the midst of my struggles. And I know it's probably because most of you are in your own struggles, and you're like, hey man, someone else, yes. There is a little comfort in self, and we're all going through something, amen. So, but there's a judgment you can put on yourself that says, I didn't pray enough. But here's how my thinking, the Lord began to help me a little bit was, you know, if you take me, a preacher, and you put me beside 100 other preachers who have big churches and are doing good work, and if they put you beside a bunch of preachers in America here, you probably already have prayed more in tongues in your first week than they have in their whole lifetime. But they're not having resistance. You probably have meditated the Word more than most preachers have, but yet they're not meeting the same resistance you are. And the devil loves to take a spiritual attack and mask it as a natural failure. Let me say that again. He loves to take a spiritual attack and mask it as a natural failure. Because then you can take the blame, not just from yourself, but from others. Because the devil wants to paint a picture using you. This is one, the first thing I asked God when I talked to him. He did talk to me a bit, I guess. Was, God, here I am preaching at the prayer center, and this happens to me. I said, I don't want it to be used to discredit the message. Because the message of prayer, the message of love, is powerful.
Yes.
And he said, don't worry. The fast go faster. The slow go slower. He said, the ones who are wanting to go slow may use it as proof for them to go slower.
Right. Yep.
But the ones who want to go faster, this will just encourage them. And I remember having a bunch of the young guys come visit me in the hospital. And I seen it in their eyes. I seen that fight. It's like they got ticked off at the devil instead of scared. And that was the fast going faster. Because this message is truth. And it'll bring us to a place of love. In fact, well, let's go to Romans 8 and let's forget about 1 Corinthians right now. It'll bring us to a place of love. And this isn't the kind of love that is self-serving. It's the type of love that is letting go of your flesh and taking your flesh to the cross to the extent that you don't take any glory. You don't take any credit. I prayed and God showed me this. I did this and God did this miracle. I did this and God did that miracle. I spoke and that thing moved. Those are all nice statements, but truth is, it's all from Him. And there's a place where we want to receive a harvest of souls that are broken physically and mentally and in every way, emotionally, and have open arms of love where God gets the credit. At one point in my ministry, one of the preachers who came through, I would MC our services we'd have. And for many services, this preacher, very well known, he'd have very charismatic services. He'd wave his hand over here and the whole crowd would fall out. And he would, you know, have people come and say, oh, the power of God's coming. Bam! See, just like that, and they'd fall out. And that'll wake you up. You thought you needed coffee. And he would have me do his prayer lines for many years. When I emceed for him, say, Alan, come up here and do my prayer line for me. Pray for this one, pray, do this, do that. So when I started my own ministry traveling, I would do the same thing. And I'd have the same kind of results. And the Lord said to me, the man who delivers the anointing gets to decide how he delivers the anointing. And you can deliver it in a way, in a manner that you get to look good, or you can deliver it in a way that only God gets to look good. And so I quit being so exciting. And, you know, I had just as many miracles, just as much fruit in the services. And so sometimes with the path that the American, I call the American church, is an enticing to get people to follow you. So there's an enticement of, I'm going to give you a better prophecy. Next week I got to give you a better prophecy. I'm going to give you a better testimony. I'm going to give you a better promise of finances. And when we look at the Apostle Paul here in Romans 8, and we'll start in 37, Romans 8, 37. Yet, talking about the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, and the peril and the sword that comes against those who are trying to follow the love of God. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And what that means is, this isn't a fight. I'm not in a fight for my healing. I'm already healed. I'm not in a fight to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. I'm in a fight to stay on the path that God has asked me to be on. That's my fight. The devil's already defeated. He's a liar. Everything he says is a lie. Circumstances always change, but His word never changes. He never changes. His love for you never changes. when the man go out to work, he spend all day, Monday, Tuesday through Friday, working out on the out in the field. He come home every night, his fingers were dirty, sweat and dirt, and his wife would make him dinner. Friday, he'd come home, and he'd say, "Baby, I made it home." And he'd pull out his paycheck, and he'd say, "I've conquered." He's got dirt under his fingernails and sweat, and "I worked hard all week, and I conquered." And he'd pull out his big, fat paycheck. And his wife walks up to him and said, you know, squeezes his arm. And with any man, whatever age they are, ladies, if you just squeeze their bicep, they'll give you a little pump for you. He went like this, and she said, "You're my conqueror. You're such a man. I'm so proud of you. You're my conqueror." And then she said, as she pulled the check out of his hand, "But me, I am more than a conqueror." So our fight that we're in is not to win a fight that's already been done. Believing is not to do warfare with the devil in a way that I have to beat you. Yes, there is intercession. Yes, there is witchcraft and all kinds of warfare that goes on. But for you personally, me personally, our walk with God is simple. I won't change course. No matter you can look at me and say, "You must have been 1 degree off," or "You didn't quite believe fully in healing." Okay, I'll own up to that. That's great. But it doesn't change that God walks me forward through every weakness, even if there is a weakness. So if you've been bankrupt a dozen times, so what? Doesn't mean you're not going to be an entrepreneur. You've been through divorce, you've been through mistakes. God's grace is there to get you through everything, even past your personal failures. So did you pray enough? Is that why you're in a battle? Did you fast enough? Is that why you're in a battle? And the truth is, who cares? Who cares? If someone comes up to you and they start pointing out your failures or weaknesses, just say, "Hey, in sports, it's a guy who carries the ball that gets tackled, not the guy sitting in the stadium watching." Wow. That's another message. When your target... All right, I'll stop. See, I'm starting to get mean. You can tell I'm getting healed. I'm getting meaner. Nathan's been preaching like a storm, talking about the victory that you fight from. See, you, when God looks at you, he doesn't look at your flesh. Yes, your flesh is full of wrong thinking, wrong ideas, brokenness from your past. Yes, it is. But because of that, don't give up and say, "I'm such a mess." Well, welcome to the club. What you can say is, "I am righteous in Christ. He birthed me. I was born the moment I got born again. That's when I came into existence. And now I got this ugly flesh that I have to deal with. I still have to deal with it. And it is as creepy as you can get. But bless God, I have everything I need from him to walk through every battle." Don't stop. God saw something in you past your mistakes, past your weaknesses. And he saw enough in you to say, "Hey, why don't you come down this path? There's a path I want you..." He didn't tell you that there's a bunch of roadblocks and stumbling blocks and attacks along the way. But he said, "Come on." Jesus was walking across the water while it was storming. And the boys were in the boat struggling to get across. Do you notice that he didn't stop to help them? He didn't stop to calm the storm. He said, he was walking on by. It's like, "Let me show you how you do this, boys." You know. No matter what your struggle is, relax. You're not a failure, even if you failed. You're a child of God, and in him you have everything you need to get through whatever you're going through. The Apostle Paul goes on, "For I'm persuaded," verse 38, "that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, nor the kitchen sink, nor sickness, nor anything the devil throws at me, that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can, if you stay with God and follow Him on this path, no matter what the devil throws against you, no matter what the circumstances say, the point isn't that you failed, okay, I give up. The point is, I'm going to get through this. I don't care how long it takes. Faith doesn't wear a watch. All that means is, I believe I will have victory in this area. It didn't come today. How come? Doesn't matter. It'll come tomorrow. Didn't come today. Well, it's coming. Well, how long was it going to take? It doesn't matter, because His word is truth. Every circumstance is a lie. Then the Apostle Paul says this, I tell the truth in Christ. This is chapter 9, Romans 9. I am not lying. So, from my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continued grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. This is such a powerful statement. Paul is not offering you a mansion in heaven with diamond doorknobs to say, hey, you want to follow God? There's rewards at bigger mansions. Come follow God. Here's a man who's saying, I'm following this path of love. If you want to follow me, and where it's taking me is to a place where I'm begging God to take my salvation and trade it for my countrymen. The guys who stoned me, the guys who tried to kill me, the guys who lie about me and persecute me, I would trade my salvation for theirs. This is the path of love that the Apostle Paul is on. And this is the path that God wants us to be on, to get to a place where we're not living for our pleasure, for our comfort. Hope I'm preaching okay. I want to take a few moments and do what God told me to do yesterday. My wife is here. I have her stand up, my beautiful wife. I know I'm blessed. Thank you. The only problem I have with her is she keeps getting younger looking. I keep getting older looking. And so that's her mom sitting beside her, Pastor Pam. You can wave at us. Paris, Tennessee. And they have a Word of Faith church there, a church that believes in the Word of God. Started it many years ago in the 80s. Chrissy's dad had a tumor in his brain, and brain cancer. And they believed God, and it went away, and it came back. And eventually, it took his life. One of the pastors in the assistant pastors tried to split the church during that time, and actually did start another church and split the church. And Pastor Pam, God bless her, stuck to her guns and still has the church going today. And I want to say this, in the midst of a battle that looks like you lose, okay? Here's my wife, Christy. Stand up again, babe, so I can see you. Yeah. You would think that after someone stood in faith and passed away, that she wouldn't be marrying a guy who believes in faith, would you? In fact, when I asked her to marry me, I said, look, I can't promise you a nice house or a nice car because I'm not going to chase those things. I said, but if you marry me, I'll get your rewards in heaven. And it's a good line. You can steal that if you want to. But I want you to notice that even though what looked like a failure, look at the fruit of that. And yesterday in worship, God shared with me to share a story. It's very personal. I asked the family if I could share it. When I first moved here, I got a call that one of my friend's wife has had cancer. And she had been fighting for a few years. And in 1995 is when I first met Pastor Raphael Charles over there, my good friend. He's from Harlingen, Texas. That's almost as far south as you can go. And he came to Cleveland, Tennessee, and heard me preach, and we became good friends. And soon after that, every year, I would take a team once or twice a year down to Old Mexico. And we'd go to Harlingen, we'd spend the night with him and his family. Then he'd take his old brown van and fill it full of his daughters. And I had our old blue church van, and we'd travel down to Cedo Victoria, and we'd hold miracle services. And his girls would sing and play and wave at me, girls. They would sing and they'd play for us. And that was in 1995, so they were all like 2 years old, I think, the girls. And then we did that every year for many years. And then I was in touch with him, and I moved here. And I found out his wife was struggling with cancer, Josefina. And so I called him. And this was the season when God told me not to travel and preach. And I said, you know, I didn't know that she was fighting cancer. I want to come down and be there for you. And I went down there to go pray with him and be with him. And I did some preaching for him for a week. And all the girls were around the mom. There's four girls, and they're praying for almost 5 years. And this is a woman who you would say knew faith, spoke faith. She kicked out. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but if she kicked out many preachers that came to pray for her, because they came to comfort her or they didn't quote the word right, and she'd kick them out of her room. Get out. You're not welcome back. And some of that was her family members. And so I went there. She loved me, of course. So, but I spent the week, and every day we'd go, we'd pray with her in a room. And the pain would leave her body, but she didn't get healed. And I remember her asking me, saying, when can you come back? And I said, well, you know, I come back in a year, maybe, you know. She said, and I could see in her eyes, sooner. I said, I'll be back next month, you know. So I came back home. Harrison was 3 months old, I think, and we stayed at Uncle Harvey's house in the bedroom there. So that was about 10 years ago. Say 10 years ago. So here's a woman who really was a faith woman. And I'm sharing this because as the enemy increases his battle, and Gary calls him casualty of war, I feel that the Lord instructed me to do this, to put some dignity back in the fight, and to understand that there's no losing when you fight. One of the questions that came to me when I got sick was, well, whose fault is this? You know, and I thought, well, that's the stupidest question I ever heard. Whose fault is this? You know, they checked my arteries. They were good. So it wasn't from eating bad. Hallelujah. You know, someone comes to my house and tries to give me nutrition lessons. I want to eat a hot dog in front of them. They tell you know, don't eat your bacon. Don't eat this. And then there's old grandma, 180 years old, sitting on TV. What's your secret to being 118 years old, Grandma? Well, every day I have a bacon sandwich and a shot of whiskey. And, you know. Yeah. Like, what? What do you mean, whose fault is it that you're sick? I can tell you whose fault it is. It's Adam's fault. I'm sure in heaven there's a special mountain on the side, and there's Adam and Eve's house up there. And it's going to be off limits for about 1 million years when we all calm down and say, all right, we'll let you come back in. You know? I was on TV in Canada, and they said, okay, tell us, why does God send people to hell? And I said, well, God doesn't send people to hell. And they looked at me, and you could tell they had that look like, oh, we got one of these guys here. And I said, no, God's a judge. He'll tell you where you're going. But he's not the one who sent people to hell. Adam sent the whole world to hell, and God's been trying to rescue the world ever since out of hell. God's not the one who sends people to hell. He's the one who's the judge. He'll say, Are you family? Did you get born again? Because that's the only way to get into the family of God. So whose fault is it? Well, it's Adam's fault. All right, let's get that clear. If you're fighting a sickness in your body, it's Adam's fault. It's not your fault. I need to preach that some more. I need to make some, you know, we need some barbecue for lunch here. I got to preach it right. You know, one man came to me. He said, I'm coming for prayer because I have kidney disease. And I know I've been eating wrong. I've been having hamburgers and pizza. And I don't think I said, I eat hamburgers and pizza. I don't have kidney disease. That's not a reason to not say the word is truth. Yes, I'm not. Okay, if you're a nutritionist, don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to make a way. But I am trying to say this. Every fight of health, gray hair, old age, creaky joints, all those things. Listen, that's all Adam's fault. Don't forget that. So it's no one's fault if you've gone through something or know someone who's been in a battle. All of us are born in the flesh at different levels. Some are born with, my dad was born with no fingers on his left hand. Everyone has different fights when you're born. You got your mama's eyes, your daddy's nose, your mama's hips, your daddy's lips. And so you got the other things in there too. And so you may have to fight a stronger fight of faith than someone else. I talked to one girl, her dad abused her, grew up being abused by her dad in every horrible way you can think possible. And talking to her, I have to tell her, I say, look, I know it may seem unfair, but you have to fight harder to get a healing and get that part of your emotions mortified than the girl next to you. It's unfair. It's not fair. It's not fair that you don't have a dad that you can look up to, or you don't have a mom that you can look up to. But that's what it is. That was not your fault. But you have to make that fight. So everyone starts from a different place when it comes to your flesh and what you have to fight in. Am I making sense? But from the Spirit and from the Word, we're all equal. So no matter what your struggles are, you have the Word of God. And you have His promises to you. And you have who He made you. He believes in you. And that's enough for you to overcome whatever it takes and how long it takes. Don't quit. And so I prayed for Josephina every day that week, and she all the pain would leave, and it was really interesting because I had not seen the girls in probably 4 or 5 years, and they had grown up, and they had an instant connection with me because of all the years they came to Mexico with us, and they would sing, and I went back a month later and spent a week with them, prayed with her every day that month. Josephina would have someone call me on the phone, and I would talk to her over the phone, pray for her, and the pain would leave her body every day that month of July. And this is 10 years ago. So I think I left on a Thursday or a Thursday morning, I think, or a Wednesday morning. And I drove up to Texas, and I stayed at a place where my cell phone didn't work. Well, the next morning, when my cell phone worked, I had all these calls because I left and I couldn't get it out of that bed. I couldn't get her healed of the cancer. And they've been standing and believing and on the Word of God. And no matter what circumstances say, this Word is truth. And I had all these messages on my phone that they had to go to the emergency room and that she'd passed away that night. And I felt so ashamed that I wasn't there to pray for her like I had all those other days. So I flew back down and spent, you know, I said, God, you know, you threw me in the middle of this for a reason. You know, so I went back down and spent another week with the family, and we had the funeral. And I remember at the gravesite saying, because they got four beautiful daughters. And I was at the gravesite and I said, my mama told me one time, a friend, because I look a lot like my mama, and she said, a friend told her, said, woman, as long as that boy's alive, you're always going to be alive. Because I look just like her, you know. And I said that at the gravesite. I said, As long as you girls are alive, your mom is still alive. Now, I want you to know, this is my point. Here's a woman who stood in faith, stood on the word. And this is when I begin to question, because, you know, as a preacher who spent a lot of times with praying for sick people, all right, have you forgiven everybody? And the answer when you're on your deathbed is, hey, buddy, I wrote my third grade teacher and asked him to forgive me for shooting that spitball at him. You know, yeah, I forgave everybody, you know. And you ask them the classic questions, you know, do you believe in the word? Do you want to live? And they're basic questions. And here's a woman who confessed the word and spoke the word. And I remember saying, Gary said it, Pastor Davis said it many times, because after the funeral, many of the preachers at the funeral, not Pastor Raphael, but her brothers were preachers, said many things. You know, God needed a rose in heaven. Her time was done. My all-time one I hate the most is she got a glimpse of heaven, didn't want to come back. And so after the night, the girls and I would sit in a circle and they'd ask me, what do you think about that? And I said, I know my mama. My mama got it, and I know that sounds comforting, don't get me wrong, but I know my mama. If she got to heaven and there's Jesus in all his glory in beautiful heaven, and Jesus said, come, stay here if you want. And my mom would say, I'm going to be here with you for eternity. I'm going to go spend more time with my grandkids. You know, that I don't believe a mama would choose to go to heaven, oh, no matter how glorious it is, rather than stay on this earth with their daughters. So my only answer I had for them was what Pastor Dave and Gary have said is, we don't know, we don't question it, but she knows. And God began to give me some ideas, and I won't say, because I don't know a lot, but she was a woman who had to raise her siblings in a hard part of the country, while her parents would go out in the week and work in the fields. And so she had to protect her younger siblings when she was growing up. And the way the Lord showed me was it put in her a fight to take care of herself or else they would die. And that it wasn't that she didn't believe in healing, but there was a part of her heart that couldn't trust to be taken care of. It was a complete different area. And so since that day, my advice to people when you're fighting for healing and myself is confess the word, speak the word, pray in tongues, let the Holy Ghost root that thing out, because his word is truth. But I want Pastor Raphael to stand up real quick, if you would. This group is fruit from that mama's faith. I want you to understand this. Here's a group, and look at them. They're here following God. After they saw what confusion over a battle, would blame the Bible, blame God, blame the person you don't believe, it doesn't work. But because she stood in faith, even though she didn't get her miracle, not only did these girls carry her looks, they carried her heart to believe God for things. And look at the fruit. Here they are at the person are praying. 10 years later, they haven't given up. All right, let's give them a big hand clap. Thank you, guys. Thank you, class. Thank you, Susan. And the way the Lord told me was, put some dignity back in the fight. And it can kind of seem a little bit self-serving for me during my fight, but that's okay. You never lose when you believe in the Scripture. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Whatever the devil throws at you, you just say, I won't quit. I won't blame God. I won't change course. I won't do it. You can't make me do it. You cannot make me change course. Because there is something on the other side. Chapter 13, we'll start in verse 9. The Apostle Paul here is correcting the church, mainly the preachers at the church. But he says, for we know in part, well, we'll start in verse 8. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, meaning incomplete. But when that which is perfect has come, now I want you to understand this. Here the Apostle Paul is describing to them something, saying when that which is perfect, or I'm not sure, what does it say in the King James? Perfect? Okay, good. I'm reading from the New King James, by the way. When that which is perfect has come, and that which is in part will be done away. So many of us, myself, thought for years that meant when that which is perfect has come. That means when heaven comes, then that which is in part will be done away. But Paul's not talking about that here. He's talking about the process of maturing into who you're called to be and why you're acting like a child and immature and living out of your flesh instead of your spirit man. You're childish, he's saying. And when everything's in part, but when that which is perfect or mature has come, then you put away that which is in part will be done away. And then he goes on in verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So here the Apostle Paul, talking about love, is talking about love growing in us and becoming not an emotional love like I love you, but this is a place, a place called done, a place of love, a place of God. It's where our new nature, we mature to who that new nature is. And we begin to act like it and talk like it and live like it. And it's called maturity and it's called love. So instead of praying for you out of the gift or giving you a word of knowledge that's out of a part, it's out of this place called love, a place of maturity in God. Say amen if you're still with me. For now we look in, and this is the New King James, a mirror. And the Old King James has a glass darkly. Now, if you want to go past the Old King James, you can look into the Greek, and you'll find that it's talking about a metal mirror. Okay, so the interpretation used to be, well, when we get perfect in heaven, now we look through a glass darkly because we can't understand all the reasons why all this stuff is happening. And, you know, you don't understand. But when you're in heaven, you'll see clearly why you had to go through what you went through. But Paul's not talking about heaven here. He's talking about us right now. And the proper translation for the glass darkly, or proper understanding, is as a mirror, something you see a reflection of. So I'm going to use the New King James in this one. For now we see in a mirror dimly, say dimly, but then face to face. Now I see dimly, but then. So when is now? Now as a child, I look in a mirror and I see dimly, but then, when is then? Heaven? No, when you're mature. Then you'll look in the mirror and you'll see face to face. All right? Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. So when God looks at you, you're already known. You have a reputation in heaven already. You're already known as a person of love, the person who God made you. I remember years ago, I went to Nicaragua, and I was preaching there, and I had a service, and drove through Managua by myself with a little lady who was the interpreter, and a little boy is trying to tell us where to go. We're driving through, and they just said, honk and turn in the traffic there in Managua. It's kind of like Brazil. You just honk and go. And we got in there, and they said, got to the service. They had a half a building with one light bulb hanging. I remember the light bulb went out, and they lit candles. And I preached that night. I was sweaty, and a little woman came and gave me her baby to pray for. And that baby had a fever, and I held that baby, and I could feel the heat of that baby through the heat of Managua. And as I prayed for that baby, I prayed every bit of prayer I could, and I had to put the baby back in the mother's arms with the fever. And I remember leaving there thinking, God, I don't want that to happen again. And I said, why could you not heal the baby? I knew it wasn't the baby's fault. I knew the stoppage wasn't with the baby. The stoppage wasn't with God. It had to do with me. And he just said to me, oh, there's too much Alan in the way. And I knew what he meant. It didn't mean sin. It didn't mean horrible things. Just too much flesh. Too much of Alan's in the way. And see, this is the way the Lord showed me, that I'm looking in a mirror. As a child, I look in a mirror, and it's them. There's something in the way. And I'm trying to see the reflection of the mirror. And who is it? What's in the way? Well, I know what's in the way. It's my flesh. I can't see who I really am because my flesh is in the way. But when I become mature, which means what we would say, mortifying the flesh, living out of your spirit, man, I can see clearly who I am, who God's made me face to face. I can see clearly who I am and who God has already always known me as. See, when God looks at you, he doesn't look at your struggles. And I'm saying this because I want to, if we look at the word mirror, I want us to go to James chapter 1, if you would please. And then I'm going to close after this. James chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're just going to read, in verse 22. James 1, 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face. Say natural. Observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Earlier in James 1, we hear about being double-minded. Now look at the next few verses here. But he who looks, say looks. So you're looking again. So he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one also will be blessed in what he does. Here's what I want to share. When we look in the mirror that he's talking about, I believe here, is the Word of God. The mirror explains who God is. But it also explains who you are. And in this walk, if you're going through struggles, and you're going through a difficult time, circumstances are all piled up against you. Depression, anxiety, emotional defeat. Because sometimes, for me lately, it's an everyday walk. It's a, I got to get up today. I'm going to make it today. Some days are not that bad now. You confess the word and you hold on to the word and you believe the word and you stand on the word. But it's an everyday walk sometimes to hold on to the things that God told you. Because with circumstances, the Spirit, an evil spirit comes with the emotions to go with it to try to get you to change course. And I want to encourage you that if all you have as proof that you're going to make it, if all you have for proof that you're going to finish this course, if all you have for proof that you're worth it in God's eyes to be used of his kingdom is one scripture, one verse or two or three or a list of confessions. That's all you need. Because that's the mirror that tells you who you are. And even though it may seem dim when you look in that mirror and say, I don't see myself in here. I see myself as a failure. I see myself as a victim. I see myself as someone who can't make it. I don't see the strength in me. God doesn't see that. The Word of God is truth. And you can hold on to it. Finally, when I was first praying in tongues, I was in my room And the Lord came, and it's like he sat beside me on my bed, and he said to me, I need you to choose today. Are you going to be a normal Christian? Or are you going to choose a high call? Well, I thought the high call meant big church, big ministry. So right away, I was like, oh, duh, you know, high call. And before I can get that duh out of my mouth, he showed me what it meant. And it was a lifestyle of mortifying the flesh, a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of giving myself to him, no glory in it. And I remember sitting there, I was young, and I sat on my bed with God. And I said, I can't even find it in myself to want to live that lifestyle. I can't find it in me. I can't find the want to want to live like that. But then I said, but if you help me, I choose the high call of God. And then, that's what he left. Then he left because he needed me to give him a decision. Were you going to be normal? Normal meaning just live for yourself, Christian? Or were you going to go through this place of death, of mortification? And I want you to understand it's been worth every bit. Every cost has been worth it. In this time of battle or hardship that me and my family are in, I have found such grace, such love, not just from God, but from the brethren. I found such mercy. It's been amazing. I believe that we can get through every single thing, and we can get to that place where we can show the real love of the Father to the world.
Yes.
Amen. And that's all of us, not just the preachers. Every one of us. Amen.
Amen.
I want to close with this, if you would stand just for a moment. And I know his healing grace was here earlier, his healing anointing. If you've been through war, you've been through battle, and you feel weak, and you come to the end of your own strength, that's the best place to be, because then there's only one other place to get it from, and that's from him. And you're already a victor. The price has already been paid. So this morning, Stacy's going to play just for a bit, and as she does, wherever you are with your battle, with your emotions, you're not a failure. You haven't failed. You're on the path of victory. No matter what it looks like, you are on a path of victory. Take this moment, if you would, and just receive from him his strength, his washing, his grace. Thank you, Father. I love you. No safer place than with you. We will not be afraid of the enemy. We will not submit to his lies. We will stay the course you put us on. We will be a part of the body of Christ that touches this world with your love. And we're honored to follow you. We give you all the glory. All the glory belongs to you, Father. We thank you so much. Thank you for believing in us. Thank you for never giving up on us. Thank you for never quitting on us. Thank you when even we felt nothing, you were always there. Father, we love you. We glorify you and magnify you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.